Sunday is Mother's Day, and for Elizabeth Fitzsimons, the challenges of motherhood began before she brought her daughter home. She told her story in the New York Times Modern Love column, and it was recently adapted for Modern Love, the podcast, a collaboration between the New York Times and WBUR. Here's actor Connie Britton reading Elizabeth's essay, My First Lesson in Motherhood.
I saw the scar the first time I changed Natalie's diaper. Just an hour after the orphanage director handed her to me in a hotel banquet room in Nanchang, a provincial capital in southeastern China. And when I peeled back her sweaty clothes, I found the worst diaper rash I'd ever seen, and a 2-inch scar at the base of her spine, cutting through the red bumps and peeling skin. The next day, when the Chinese government would complete the adoption, was also Natalie's first birthday. We had a party for her that night, attended by families we'd met and representatives of the adoption agency, and Natalie licked cake frosting from my finger. But we worried about a rattle in her chest, and there was the scar. So afterward, my husband, Matt, asked our adoption agency to send the doctor. We had other concerns, too. Natalie was thin and pale and couldn't sit up or hold a bottle. She had only 2 teeth, barely any hair, and wouldn't smile. We had set our hearts on adopting a baby girl from China years before when I was reporting a newspaper story about a local mayor's return home with her new Chinese daughter. We embarked on a process lasting months of preparing our application and opening our life to scrutiny until one day we had a picture of our daughter on our refrigerator. 14 months after deciding to adopt, we were in China. And now we were in a hotel room with a Chinese doctor, an older man who spoke broken English. After listening to Natalie's chest, he said she had bronchitis. Then he turned her over and looked at the scar. He suspected she'd had a tumor removed and wondered aloud if she had spina bifida before finally saying that she would need to be seen at the hospital. I tried to think positive thoughts. But my mind shifted when I saw one of the women from the agency in a heated exchange in Chinese with the doctors, then with someone on her cell phone. We pleaded with her for information. A CT scan confirmed that there had been a tumor that someone, somewhere, had removed. It had been a sloppy job. Nerves were damaged, and as Natalie grew, her condition would worsen, eventually leaving her paralyzed from the waist down. Control over her bladder and bowels would go, too. Yes, she had a form of spina bifida, as well as a cyst on her spine. Back at the hotel, we hounded the women from the agency. Why wasn't this in her medical report? How could a scar that size not be noticed? It was 2 inches long, for God's sake. They shook their heads, shrugged, apologized. In cases like these, we can make a rematch with another baby, the one in charge said. The rest of the process would be expedited, and we would go home on schedule. We would simply leave with a different girl. Months before, we had been presented with forms asking which disabilities would be acceptable in a prospective adoptee. HIV, hepatitis, blindness. We checked off a few mild problems that we knew could be swiftly corrected with proper medical care. Now, we faced surgeries, wheelchairs, colostomy bags. I saw our lives as being utterly devoted to her care. How would we ever manage? Yet how could we leave her? Had I given birth to a child with these conditions, I wouldn't have left her in the hospital. I pictured myself boarding the plane with some faceless replacement child and then explaining to friends and family that she wasn't Natalie, that we had left Natalie in China because she was too damaged. How could I face myself? How could I ever forget? I would always wonder what happened to Natalie. I was shaking my head no before they finished explaining. We didn't want another baby, I told them. We wanted our baby, the one sleeping right over there. She's our daughter, I said. We love her. Yet we had a long, fraught night ahead, wondering how we would possibly cope. In the morning, bleary-eyed and aching, we decided we would be happy with our decision. And we did feel happy. But within 2 days of returning to San Diego, things took another alarming turn. While eating dinner in her high chair, Natalie had a seizure. Her head fell forward, then snapped back. Her eyes rolled and her legs and arms shot out ramrod straight. I pulled her from the high chair, handed her to Matt, and called 911. When the paramedics arrived, Natalie was alert and stable, but then she suffered a second seizure in the emergency room. We told the doctors what we had learned in China, and they ordered a CT scan of her brain. Hours later, one of the emergency room doctors pulled up a chair and said gravely, "You must know something is wrong with her brain, right?" We stared at her. Something was wrong with her brain, too? In addition to everything else? "Well," she told us, "Natalie's brain is atrophic." I fished into my purse for a pen as she compared Natalie's condition to Down syndrome, saying that a loving home can make all the difference. She left us, and I cradled Natalie, who was knocked out from seizure medicine. Her mouth was open, and I leaned down, breathing in her sweet breath that smelled like soy formula. She was admitted to the hospital, where we spent a fitful night at her bedside. In the morning, the chief of neurosurgery came in. When we asked him for news, he said, "It's easier if I show you." In the radiology department screening room, pointing at the CT scan, he told us the emergency room doctor had erred. Natalie's brain wasn't atrophic. She was weak and had fallen behind developmentally, but she had hand-eye coordination and had watched him intently as he examined her. He'd need an MRI for a better diagnosis. We asked him to take images of Natalie's spine, too. He returned with more remarkable news. The MRI ruled out the brain syndromes he was worried about. And nothing was wrong with Natalie's spine. She did not have spina bifida. She would not become paralyzed. He conceded there probably had been a tumor, and that would need to be monitored. But she might be fine. The next year would tell. There would be other scares, more seizures, and much physical therapy to teach her to sit, crawl, and walk. She took her first steps one day on the beach at 21 months, her belly full of fish tacos. Now she's nearly three, with thick brown hair, gleaming teeth, and twinkling eyes. She takes swimming lessons, goes to daycare, and insists on wearing flowered sandals to dance. I say to her, "Oh, Natalie," and she answers, "Oh, Mama." And I blink back happy tears. It's tempting to think that our decision was validated by the fact that everything turned out okay. But for me, that's not the point. Our decision was right because she was our daughter, and we loved her. We would not have chosen the burdens we anticipated, but we are stronger than we thought.